Yes! Three weeks from now, I will be harvesting my crops.
Imagine where you will be.
And it will be so.
Hold the line. Stay with me. You find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face. Do not be troubled. For you are in Elysium. And you're already dead. Brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity.
Who don't want that as an entrance? That's the gladiator scene of the Battle of Germania before they flank from the side with all the horses. When Maximus is giving them that speech, that run through a wall speech, that makes the, that speech to those soldiers makes the Any Given Sunday Al Pacino speech sound like he's ordering a chicken sandwich in a drive-thru, okay? That shit would have me ready to rock. Telling them, if you find yourself alone in green pastures with your sun in your face, fear not, because you're in Elysium, and you are already dead! And they all laugh. They're laughing their nuts off. He's killing the room. Well, I also wanted to look up what Elysium was. I never really knew what that word meant. I just never ever decided to look it up until recently. The definition of Elysium is the abode of the blessed after death in classical mythology. Basically, heaven. The word came into Latin from the Greek Elysion. Elysion? E-L-Y-S-I-O-N. I have a lisp today. In classical mythology, Elysium, or the Elysian Fields, was the home of the blessed after death, the final resting place of the souls of the heroic and the pure. Now, the Elysian Fields, I'm assuming, are the entrance, the intro to the movie Gladiator, and obviously the end, when they show him walking through the field there with that really beautiful sunlight and the glare. And obviously they show the intro of the movie is his death, but you don't realize at the time. But at the end, obviously, when he dies and he goes to meet his wife and son and he's walking through those fields, those are the Elysian Fields. And that's something that we can all learn. Just a little something to intro the podcast with today, you know. I'm having a lot of fun with this. The editing I'm getting better at. We have a really fun episode in store for you today. I got my buddy coming in for the food and bev section. I got some other funny stuff happening. And I'm not sure where this thing's going. I'm just enjoying what I'm doing. I'm enjoying sitting around doing this stuff. Editing these and thinking of dumb shit to do on it. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be cooking a couple of recipes today. I'm cooking, filming two episodes of $20 Chef after I finish this up. Probably going to go heavy soup. You know what I mean? You got to go heavy soup, bro. I mean, it rained. It didn't rain. It snowed 2 foot last night. Over the last 2 nights. 2 foot. That's a lot of feet, man. You know what I mean? Makes me want to have a quad with a plow on the front of it. Okay, I'm a plow guy now, okay? I want to have one of those things on the front of my truck so bad. I went to get gas 2 days ago, and I got a Tundra. You know, I got the four-door crew cab, four-wheel drive. You know, no big deal. And I'm at the gas station, and this dude rolls up with the sweetest front-end plow I've seen in quite some time. Fresh off the lot, bro. I couldn't help myself. I finished gassing up. I circle around to him, and I go, my man. I had to hit him with the old school roll the window down, which they need a better version of that now because you can't, it doesn't, if I just point my finger down like I'm pushing a button down, it doesn't have the same effect. You got to do the roll the window circle down. You know, he was a little bit hesitant at first, but what am I going to do? I'm 8 feet away in my truck and it's fucking 12 degrees. Anyways, he reluctantly rolls his window down and I ask him about his plow. And the guy happened to own the gas station. He goes like, you know, I was like, hey, bro, what do? Do you just go to an agency and they just send you to neighborhoods and they pay you to just start plowing the streets? And he was like, no, it's for me. It's for fun. I own the gas station. This baller is just out here plowing his own shit. And that's what I want to do. I want my own plow, bro, on the front of my truck. And I'm just going to roll around, smoke weed, and plow snow. What's wrong with that? I'll get up early, bro, because I can just start drinking sooner. If you put in a good 8-hour day, you can have a cocktail at noon if you've been at work since 4 a.m., you know, 5 a.m. That's all you, bro. That brings me to my next topic, man. You know, again, this is kind of like a podcast where you can really come to really expand your mind and think about really important stuff. You know, really stretch it out in there, get in there, get into these causes and these topics. Today I want to talk about cow versus deer. A lot of people think that it would be more fun to be a deer because they're nimble and they can launch and they can jump and shit, you know, they look cuter, but I'm not sure. So the new house we're here at in New Jersey, there's some deer out in the backyard, bro. And they are sketchy as shit, number one. So, I mean, you have to ask yourself, if you want to be a deer, you have to understand that what comes with that level of nimbleness is a very extreme, high level of anxiety. These things are on alert. I can make a noise 40 feet away. This motherfucker pops his head up and looks up at me. Like, yes, can cow barely do anything? Our cows are just these huge animals that just make a noise. They stink like shit, and they just wander around a field with each other, and that's the most of it. They never, ever, they're like Polly from Goodfellas, right? They don't ever move for anybody. You know, I have to look at the deer, and I think to myself, yes, actually, as far as physiology goes, I would love to be the deer. But as far as the mental attitude goes, I got to go cow on this one, bro. You know, I don't, you know, you can live out your 18 month to, you know, depending if you're a Japanese cow, you get to live to your about 6 or 7. You know, but let it be a good run. Eat some good grass, you know, give the people some milk, you know, your purpose. Hopefully you eat proper and you have a great diet of grass and whatever else they eat. Dandelions maybe, and then they can produce some good beef. Now I'm not saying, I know it's a little bit of a shitty feeling to say that cows, but that's essentially, cows are awesome. And but at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we got 40 billion people, however many, 8 billion people on the planet, all outside of India, that all want to eat, no, they don't eat pork, they eat beef, that all want to eat that beef, bro, that filet, those chops, you know what I mean, those big ass ribeyes. Shout out to cows, though, for having the bone-in ribeye. Shout out to cows for having such great ribs. Shout out to cows for the New York strip. Also, the ground beef. A good quality ground beef. I mean, I wish the cows could hear me right now. I'd like to have a little thank you speech to them. To the deer, I love, you know, I respect your quickness and your ability to jump shit, but I just couldn't live like that, man. I mean, you are, it's like you're on the FBI's fucking... Either you're on the most wanted list and you got you're always looking over your shoulder, or you're like a person who went to who got immunity, and then they're in hiding and they have to change their identity and all that, and then they get kind of compromised. So then that's what it's like to be a deer, and I'm not sure I want that. I'd rather be a clueless ass. You know, quit saying sheeple, say cowple, because cows are even worse than sheep, I think. I don't know. They could be on the same level of cluelessness. I have to think that one through on the next episode, I think. But, you know, here we are tackling the most important shit you can tackle, okay? I'm smashing a bag of this Long Beach jerky, which you got to get your hands on, bro. You got to get your hands on some of this LB jerky, okay? Long Beach jerky, you're going to love it. Head over to lbjerkyco.com. And then at checkout, use promo code TheBigHomie and get the hookup on that beef jerky. We're also going to be going to a lot of cornhole events this year. So, you know, we're going to have, and LB Jerky Co. is going to be at a handful of those. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'll tell you what I was excited about was this month was the Ozarks coming out with season 4, the first 7 episodes. I was pumped since December, bro. That show hooks me in. The way I used to get hooked in with Breaking Bad, especially in the later years when you felt like Walter was about to get caught around the corner, and then they just keep on just reeling you in. I'm also glad this show's on Netflix because I can watch the whole thing. I got stuck in Yellowstone I barreled through the first handful of seasons. The final season, I got stuck in TV land where you got to wait for it to air on a Sunday. That can eat a bowl of shit. That whole process of waiting for the show to air, eat a bowl of shit. I did that plenty enough. I did that for the entire, you know, fucking 18 seasons of Sopranos. I'm not doing it no more. And yeah, I got sucked in on Yellowstone, but I'm not doing it no more. I want to watch, if I want to barrel through 9 hours of a show, let me do it, pigs. But me and my lady, we watched Ozarks, all seven, no spoiler alerts. It's absolutely unbelievable for a seven. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there dissecting it because they're all, everybody these days is a cinematographer, an NFL head coach, a chef. Everybody's also a fucking travel expert, a fight expert. They're content experts. They know everything. So I'm certain plenty of people are going to pick Ozarks apart because that's what you do in your nature. But that's a hell of a show, bro. And I don't know when the next seven come out. I hope they don't wait until too damn late this year because I am pumped for it. Me and my lady were hooked. I watched the last episode again. I watched the last episode a couple times just because I love it. I love the show. I love being hooked in there. I love also going back, seeing what I missed. These episodes, they get you so hooked and you get so into the storyline, you almost, that you do miss things. So I would suggest going back, watching it another, you know, a couple of those episodes a few more times because there are a lot of things that you don't pick up. Next up is my show on Netflix. When's that happening, Netflix? Get your shit together. In a unique turn of events, I was approached by somebody who said they had intel on someone inside of Area 51 who wanted to come on my podcast. He confirmed everything Bob Lazar said on the Joe Rogan podcast and felt like, since I'm only on episode 2, what better to pique some early interest in the podcast than to come on here and tell us what's going on down there. Now, the only weird part is we have to do it via Morse code. Now we have our special guest on the line here. I'm very excited. He's supposedly at Area 51 right now. Sir, before we get started here, what should we call you? Okay, JP, it's a pleasure to meet you. Now, what would you like to share with us today? Of course, man. Listen, we want to help you get out what you need to get out. That's what we're here for. Seriously? Are you... They're working at Disneyland and nobody has any clue? Okay, so they can shapeshift and they're planning to come back as actual TV aliens like E.T. and Mac and Me? Bro, I don't know who books Joe Rogan. I'm not going to be able to get these guys on. Bro, what are they eating? Listen, we know there's aliens down there now. What do they eat, bro? What do you guys feed them? Like Taco Bell or is there like home-cooked meals? Of course I eat HelloFresh. They sponsor the show. Listen, if you want the hookup, go to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing16. Use promo code GunsBlazing16. Get 16 free meals.
Dude.
You know, I'm starting to think maybe you should have went on Rogan's podcast instead of this one because none of my people are going to believe this is real. They're just going to think this is some sort of sketch and, you know, no matter how much truth bombs I bring, I'm not sure they're going to buy it, bro. Hey, don't get pissed off at me, man, okay? I'm just trying to, I want your message to get out there. Is there anything planned? Is there something going on? Is there like a, what should we know? Oh, so we're all going to, say stay mile, the world ends this year, huh? Why'd you wait till then? Hey, well, thanks for the respect for Cinco de Mayo. We appreciate that going out with a nice little bang, you know what I mean? No, man, thank you for coming on. We appreciate you, bro. Come back anytime. Stay safe and tell the boys at Area 51 we said hello. Should I name this episode Mind Blown? Because that's what I am. I hope that guy's telling the truth because I'm pumped. I'm pumped to know that all that's really happening. Wow, I'm a little bit. I'm shook. I'm about to go smoke a quick bowl rip. Get a couple rippers in me. You know, I got a lot of experience in these streets. And before I start dealing with intergalactic issues, I want to kind of walk you guys through being pulled over. For those of you who haven't been pulled over often or too much, or if you're younger and you just don't have that much experience with law enforcement, I want to give you a small little breakdown on how it works, where how it progresses, how things get crazier and crazier, and just kind of how to deal with things, you know? So let's get into this. Here's a little walkthrough on how to deal with those cliche-ass questions cops always ask us.
Come on, you know what I'm talking about.
License and registration, please.
That's always their kickoff right there. They're just feeling you out, seeing what's going on, checking out your car, seeing if you're dumb enough to leave some paraphernalia out or some shit like that. You know, just assessing your bitch ass. What's this bitch ass up to on a Tuesday at 4 p.m.?
License and registration, please.
Okay, this is going down. That's when you know. All right, let's go. Fucking focus. You're dealing with the government, okay? Then you know the second question's coming. You know it's coming. They're going to come in. It's coming in hot, and it's coming in fast. And you got to be on your toes.
Do you know why I pulled you over?
Do you know why I pulled you over is one of the sickest, sweetest sayings that you get to say and use on a regular basis as a cop. Like, if you're out there in these streets, you got to hit him with that every time.
Do you know why I pulled you over?
You know, when you're in your early 20s, you answer that shit honestly. Then you get older, and they hit you with that dumb shit.
Do you know why I pulled you over?
You know, like, I'm not going to fucking tell you. You know, ratting myself out. You know why you pulled me over. But then you got to be careful, because then they hit you with the second most favorite policeman saying.
Step out of the car now.
When they hit you with the step out, an aggressive step out of the car now, you've just escalated the game, okay? When they hit you with the strong ass
step out of the car now.
Now you got some thinking to do. How far are you going to take this shit? I mean, you got to fuck up for them to hit you with the
step out of the car now.
You can't just step out of the car now. Now you're playing by their rules. So here you are. Fuck your license and registration. He don't even care about that right now. He just gave you a fucking hot ass.
Step out of the car now.
Now you fucked up. Now you gotta figure out how you gonna fucking de-escalate the situation. Because not only have you just caught a step out of the car now, but next up is the fucking always follows a step out of the car.
Hands on the car now.
Now you're at hands on the car. Get your fucking hands on the car. Okay? You've gone from just getting pulled over for a fucked up headlight on your 05 Prius. You thought you were a smart ass after he hit you with the fucking license and reg. You were a fucking smart guy because you're in your late 30s. Now he hits you with a step out of the car. Now you're fucked up. He wants you to step out of your car. And then he hits you with the hard ass.
Hands on the car, now.
You're in for some shit now. When you get your hands on the car, now you're not free anymore. You're being detained on some level. Now you're fucking with your freedom. You've been yanked out of your shitty car. Now he wants you to put your fucking dirty mitts all on your car, on your dirty ass roof. Obviously, we know what question's coming next.
Do you have any alcohol or illegal drugs in this car?
Here's where you really got to focus, because you know that you lost a little bit of that. You had a little bit of eight ball left from 2 weeks ago, but you were kind of blacked out. You don't remember finishing the bag off. You think it might be floating around under the seat somewhere. You clearly got a fucking half-smoked joint in your ashtray. Got a couple weed cookies in my backpack. Okay, this is just standard citizen shit. I'm not a fucking drug lord here, but I've been yanked out of the car. My hands are on the fucking car, and now he's hit me with the drugs and alcohol. Now you really got it. This is where people break. This is the breaking point for a lot of people. You got to fucking stick to your shit. No. This is where you probably want to start calming it down, trying to get a little apology in here. Let him know you had a long day. And you apologize because you know he's just doing his job. Now, listen, if you want to be a fucking activist, you go right ahead. But listen to me. I got to go to work tomorrow. My political views do not have anything to do with my currently with my freedom. So I'm not fucking going the activist route. I'm trying to fucking de-escalate the situation.
Do you have any alcohol or illegal drugs in this car?
Oh, well, now you really fucked up. He just asked you again because you were thinking about how to respond before and you didn't fucking hit him with an answer. Now he's doubling down. Now he's sensing it. He knows what's going on. He knows what he's got going. You're going fucking. It's time to search the car. And you know what? Normal me just de-escalates, but I'm going to be honest. I wasn't having it that fucking day. It wasn't my day. So I was just like, yo, man, don't you got something better to do with your fucking life? There ain't no unsolved murders around here, man. You can go help crack a case wide open somewhere or something, man. Now you fucked up. You slipped on him. You went and fucked around and disrespected him. You don't want to do that because he's about to hit you with the last thing you want to hear when you get pulled over. You don't want to hear him go off on you before he goes reaching for those cuffs.
He disrespected me, this badge, and my department.
Just go ahead and get ready to go to jail. He brought up his badge, his department, and himself. If you make him reflect on that type of action where he's calling you out, the fact that you fucking disrespected his badge, him, and the department, that's hard.
He disrespected me, this badge, and my department.
At that point, when you fuck around and you disrespect him, his badge, and the department, I'm going to be real honest. You deserve it. And that's when they hit you with that final favorite cop thing to say. The end all be all to the whole fucking stop.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, the court will appoint you one.
Well, there you go. You better hope you ain't got no warrants, asshole. You just got hit with the Miranda rights. The rights. You have the right. You have the right. That's when all the inner hillbilly lawyers come out and play. But you better get your shit together because you fucked up. You just heard the Miranda rights. And you know what? Don't fight it. It's happening. Just let it happen. You know what I mean? You could use a day off, right? Fuck it, man.
Hey, I hope you guys enjoyed that little tutorial there, trying to help you guys help yourselves when you get caught up, you know, when you get caught slipping, looking at that celly, not putting on a blinker, you know what I mean? You don't want to, you know, just stay calm, cool, collected in the pocket, you know, and most of the time you should be good. Just don't be riding dirty. I rode dirty for so long, bro. There was a point in Arizona where I had an 89 Buick Skylark with like 2 year out of date tags, suspended driver's license, no insurance. And I was just bombing around to my job at Chevy's Mexican restaurant. And this car is just waiting to get pulled over at any moment. It was rusted and busty and gray. Oh man, I should have been at that point in the late 90s, early 2000s. They weren't arresting you every time you got popped with a suspended license. So early on, I got like 3 driving with suspended licenses and just had to pay a fine or something. So it kind of worked out nice. I think now they just fucking hem you up and take you down and read you the Miranda rights. All right, guys, let's go ahead and get into this food and bev section. This food and bev, I went with an interview. I'll explain all that, but I wanted to dive into some beers and really just bring on a buddy of mine who's an expert in the field. And I hope you guys enjoy this interview. And I hope you enjoy the info that we break loose on you. So let's go ahead and get in a little food and bev with my boy Casey Edmond. Casey Edmond's a good friend of mine. He's from New Hampshire. Longtime Southern California resident, though. Left at like 18. He's like probably almost 40. Casey was a beer rep for Stone Brewery for several years. He's also ran wine bars. He's ran regular bars. We bartended together for years in Long Beach at several different places. We bartended in Hollywood together. We bartended a shit ton of spots, but he kept going after I moved on with stand-up. He kept it moving in the food and beverage industry, you know, running. He worked with Long Beach Jerky for a while. Also, as a rep, he worked at Stone Brewery for years. He really brought me into the craft beer world, taught me a lot of stuff, and it's really stuck with me. And I thought I'd bring that knowledge and info to you guys. He now is the general manager of a venue called the Vermont in Hollywood. That's a dope-ass 1,400-person events venue and bar, nightclub in Hollywood. But he took a few time, and he's also a wonderful musician. He took some time for us today, you know, and just to add to it.
Oh, hello, Sean.
This is my friend, everybody. Welcome to the Food and Bev section. My boy, Casey Edden.
How are you, sir? I love you.
Dude, I love you, buddy. You don't. You want to just. I wanted to bring a little beer knowledge to the people, man. How you doing today, Case? What's going on, buddy?
Dude, I'm doing fantastic. You know, if there's anything I can do to help the beer knowledge of the world spread, I'm all for it.
Well, I see you're playing us a little riff there on your. Hey, why don't you play us a quick riff?
You want a little
cocktail
riff
for this one? Because I'm like. I'm not going to hang out and talk about cocktails with my boy when I'm not having a cocktail. I need to have a little respect for cocktails. I'm sipping a little Jack and Coke. Never hurt nobody here and there. We've actually grew weed together at one point. There was a little facility possibly in your area. We had a nice little double room. You know, you had the first room where they just grew them up, made them before they bud, and then you flip-flopped them to the other room.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I had a part-time job working a weed room. It was pretty fun. It was so interesting to learn.
Dude, it was amazing.
You know what's funny is that some of the weed, I remember one time, some of the weed that that was grown in there somehow just got tossed in the backyard, right? And then it was just hanging up in your fucking gazebo thing back there. And it was hanging in there for quite some time, bro. I'm going to say maybe a year.
Oh, that little bud hanging?
The spider bud. The spider.
Oh, yeah, the spider bud. I know. I was
started calling it spider weed because it was spider webs and shit in it from being outside. But listen, so one day we were out of weed, bro. And I said, man, fuck that. I'll go see what's up with the spider weed, bro. I brought this because it was a sunny day. It was dry. The weed was dry. I broke up the spider weed. And it was, I had some of the most wild thoughts. It was some of the best weed I had ever smoked. It was the spider weed, bro. And I had have the best writing sessions and shit. And I had to be sitting trying to catch it all. I had to move the voicemail to voice notes because the shit was flying through my brain. It was getting backed up behind the pen. Casey was a beer rep for Stone Brewery, so.
Dude, we were so spoiled. We had the selection of the best, you know.
Yeah, and you know what we do? Like, we didn't really go out to bars that often. We literally sat around your round table. You guys would bust out two beers. We'd have their little glasses. We'd be passing around joints or whatever, apparatus, while you guys basically gave us beer class. You would pour beer in the same beer for everybody in their glass for the big bottle or whatever bottle. You know, we just look at it and we talk about it and we smell it and we taste it and we discuss it. And that was some of my favorite times, was like how simple but awesome and just like perfect those evenings were.
Yeah, and it was great. We were all discovering so many new beers and beer styles at that time. When we were younger, you know, there was a lot of the, you know, the regular hitters, and there wasn't the variety that the craft boom brought on. And we were at the forefront, dude, tasting all of that.
So here's what I'm doing on this segment today. I have a list of craft beer styles here, not actual companies, just the beer styles. I mean, obviously there's probably 300 styles, but I just picked about, I don't know, like 8 of the heavy hitters. I just want to run through it. I want to run through some of them. So that if anybody in here is a beer person, or you're like, you know, you enjoy craft beer, but then you're kind of intimidated because you don't know what the fuck all these different beers mean, and they only have like a 5-word description on menus a lot of times. So I'm going to start with the easiest basic one. I mean, I would think in the craft beer world, the IPA. Explain to us what IPA stands for and what that's basically what's different about it.
Basically, IPA stands for India Pale Ale, and the story goes back to, you know, sailors. Most of the trade internationally
or regionally was all done obviously on boats. And these sailors for various companies in Europe and wherever, all over the world, you know, Africa, you know, to for beer to last those journeys from India for the spice trade or whatever to England and just all that madness, you got to preserve that baby, and that you stuff those barrels full of hops because hops is a preservative effect. So, you know, they were dubbed India pale ales because they would take on a pale color and they were super hopped, which, you know, you get that dank, citrusy, resiny flavor from. I'm sure back then they weren't crazy hopped like they are now, but they, you know, hops first and foremost was a preservative that also had a great flavor, you know, that it was imparted on the beer. So India pale ale, baby, you know.
Okay, now just really quick to piggyback off of that, explain, give us a quick, some quick notes in, on the differences of a double IPA.
So basically, you're just getting a much stronger beer. If you think of it like liquid, the more dense the liquid is, you know, which is the more malt per liquid, then you get, you're going to get extra alcohol off of that extra dose of malt. So you're going to get an extra, a stronger, higher, you know, grainy, malty, sweet, and higher, you know, big hop resin character to balance out all that malt. So, you know, a lot of times 8% to 11% is like a double or imperial.
Oh, so that's imperial, which is basically in the same neighborhood as double, imperial IPA.
Yeah, basically it's the same thing. Imperial, you know, just like it's the word means, it takes over, like it's okay. Double, baby, double.
All right, now let's get a rundown. Now, this is my favorite section, and you always knew this is my favorite style, I mean, and you always knew that this was my style. So, like, you would always, when you came across some gems or you had some new shit, and one of my favorites of all time was still to this day is the Mexican Clown Shoes, the Clown Shoes Mexican Chocolate Ale or something like that. But let's talk a little bit about hit us with stouts and porters, because – and just let me try to act like a little expert real quick. Stout and a porter are essentially the same thing, except the stout is just a stronger porter.
Basically, yes. Porters were made, they came from England, and they were made stronger, or, you know, with a higher malt and darker roast character, because the workers would only have enough money for either lunch or a beer. So they started brewing these like stronger porters, roastier porters for the literal porters in England. So it was like your lunch and your beer all in one. So it was like, let's make it a meal, you know?
I did not know that part, and I love that.
Isn't that awesome? And then, yeah. So a stout is just how you would now think of a stout, is like, all right, at the porter, but it's jack it up. Let's put more of that grain content. Therefore, we'll get more alcohol when during fermentation, and you have a stronger stout style porter. That's really, you know, a stout is a stout style porter.
Okay. See, I'm telling you, motherfuckers better. Hey, you guys might as well pause this, get you a little notebook out.
Also, one of my favorite styles, right?
Oh, yeah. Because you can just do so much with it, you know, with chocolate and cinnamon and vanilla all the coffee, you know, it's peanut butter. You know, you can really just.
Peppers, chilies, you know.
All the spices. That's why I always like it. And what was the Clown Shoes? It was the Mexican chocolate something. Mexican chocolate porter, maybe. I haven't been able to find it. There was a few craft beer liquor stores in my apartment in the city when I was in New York still, and they had some Clown Shoes in there, but they never had the exact one that I kept looking for.
Yeah,
it was a Mexican chocolate something. But either way, let's move over here. I think this one, I see it on a lot of menus, a lot of restaurant menus, you know, and I'm not sure that everybody is aware of technically what's happening. So hit us with some info on sours.
So sours are, the history goes back to Belgium and Germany and the Netherlands, France, basically, you know, Europe, where they would spontaneously ferment a lot of, you know, what they had used over the course of their farming, you know, a lot of leftover, you know, you would basically open vat, you would have the bacteria and yeast in the air would ferment these open vats of liquid. And a lot of times you would get these sour, funky, you know, acetic acid, like tart, basically sours, which is definitely like when the craft beer movement exploded, sours kind of, everyone obviously learned about sours and the Trappist ales and IPAs and Imperial Porters. And, you know, the variety is endless.
Yeah, I thank you for hitting us with that, because, you know, I think you have to be almost open to learning it, or else it's just something that you kind of fight as you look at menus. You know, if you just don't know what you're talking about and you just little something looks such a momentous like goal to accomplish is figuring out what the fuck all this means, you know, half the time where you're in anxiety mode because you want to hurry up and order so the waitress can go put your order in, because you're the last person. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just good to kind of just talk about it without having to go and search out all, you know, all the people that listen to my podcast won't need to at least go running. You could find this information, but I want to drop it for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, drop that knowledge.
Hit us with, oh yeah, you know, you mentioned this already. So let's go Trappist Ale. Explain to us Trappist beer and Trappist Ale.
So basically this is ale that's been brewed for hundreds and probably almost 1,000 years from Trappist monks throughout Europe. And it's, you know, it's almost like, you know, they make cheese, they make their beer. And to be considered Trappist, it has to be brewed by a Trappist monastery by Trappist monks. And I think there's 7 or 8 now in the world.
Okay. All right, yep. Let's keep moving here. Let's keep moving. This one, very new to me. Old Rasputin.
Old now, Rasputin.
Old Rasputin. Old Rasputin. How do you, is it R-A-S, B or P? Is it Rasputin?
I don't put the pew on there. I put it like Rasputin. Rasputin. Rasputin.
Okay.
Rasputin.
All right. Talk to us about Old Rasputin beer and what this is. Because I've seen it floating around, but I have no knowledge.
This is the Imperial Russian Stout. This is actually one of my favorite beers when I was early on in the game. They've been around for a while from North Coast Brewing, but I'm sure, you know, Rasputin's a whole nother topic in himself as a dude. He was a crazy Russian, like, mystic who took over the court of Russia. Like, he just manipulated his way to power, you know, through various ways. And this beer is an Imperial Russian Stout named after him. They're up in North California. But anyway, so those stouts we talked about in England were basically being brewed at even higher strength for, you know, the Tsarina, you know, the Tsar and the Tsarina of Russia. She, you know, Catherine basically was the namesake of the Imperial. That's really what Imperial kind of does mean, is the court, you know, the Imperial High Court. So Imperial Russian Stout, Old Rasputin. And the beer is, I think, 10.5%, something like that. I don't know.
Exactly. Wild.
Yeah.
Two, and you're flying on two.
Dude, it's just, but it doesn't taste like like there's too much alcohol. Things are balanced. It's just a nice roasty toasty, little hints of sweetness of like dark fruit, you know, and one of the best beers in history, as far as I'm concerned. And obviously.
I like that. So to break down. Russian, so we're talking about Rasputin. This is Russian Imperial Stout. So it's a stout, obviously, like you explained, but it's imperial because it's much stronger, made of the more, obviously, more dense wheat with wheat and, you know, the preservatives. And then you add Russian because it's made in Russia. So that's where Imperial Russian Stout comes from.
Well, not necessarily made in Russia, but made for Russia.
Okay.
Catherine, she preferred the stronger stouts from England, so they would make them strong and ship them to her. So
okay, now okay,
you know, she was a badass. So
if your beer lasts if your beer style lasts this far along, that's some real shit right there.
Well, Russians like to get party, you know, and
they don't fuck around, bro. Whatever
they're not fucking around. That's true.
All right, now I appreciate you rattling off and letting us rattle off that list and really breaking down some beer styles for us. Also, what I like to hit is, let's talk about some of the barreling, you know, on that side of it all. How often? What are the different types of apparatus that you can age beer in? So, are they making it? Obviously, we have steel. You know, there's I think someone even does clay, and then you have wood. What's going on with beer in that aspect?
Yeah, you definitely, you know, you would age beer in, you know, a charred whiskey barrel or, you know, scotch barrels or wine barrels, you know, leftover. There's a lot of that going on in the Central Coast, you know, where they share and they hook up the local breweries with wine casks. And you when you age your beer in something like that, it's going to impart the character, you know, if it's a, you know, a fired cask, you know, you'll add that heat and that complexity from the wood to maybe a beer that would be stronger because a maltier usually equals sweeter. So you want to balance out a lot of that malt sweetness with these big doubles imperials. So you want to, like, you know, age them in a barrel that's been fires, you know, roasted and, you know.
Is that where the smoke, like, let's say if there's a smokiness to a beer, a porter or something, is that where the smokiness is coming from? Because it was one of those fire roast, those fire, like, whatever, they burn some of the wood of a casket of one of the wine barrels.
It can come from that, or it could come from just the roast of the malt itself. You know, you have to beer is malt, which is grain. You know, so you can roast that grain from lightly toasted grain all the way to, like, charred black, which is what you use for, like, Guinness and dark stouts, like charred malt. So yeah, if you get a lot of that smokiness from that extreme malt char, and then also through cask aging.
Hey, Case, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking your time to come in here and drop some knowledge for the homies, for all the big homies that listen to the podcast. You know what I mean? Thanks for kind of steering us around the craft beer and all the different beers and stuff, and kind of, you know, listen, we're trying to get educated out here to these cocktail streets, homie.
Hey, the game don't wait.
It sure don't, bro. Hey, hold down the compound in Long Beach. Hey, guys, I hope you guys love my man Casey here. He will be coming back a lot to talk with us. Obviously, you know, he's a smooth-ass dude with a lot of great info and knowledge and experience in the world. And keep rocking, homie. Why don't you hit us with a little track on the way out real quick, a little riffy.
Sean, I love you.
Love you, buddy. I'm gonna have a sip of this cocktail while you hit that riff. Go ahead, guys. Let this kid hit this riff. That's my buddy Casey Edmund. Casey, cheers, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Cheers, buddy, man. What a good time. Time for a beer.
This is a fresh podcast, man. These are some fresh ideas. This is a fresh episode. And if someone tries to get fresh to me, I tell them, you don't get fresh to me. You want to get fresh, you get HelloFresh, my friend. We're talking farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients. Seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep, guys. Skip the trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. I'm all about that HelloFresh, okay? And the new year is a great time to focus on what's important to you, whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook with your boy, or prioritizing your wellness. And HelloFresh is here to help with endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. That's what you have to understand. And HelloFresh is 72% cheaper than a restaurant meal of the same quality. Do the math on that, guys. Do the math. If you have $100 and you go out, and then you have $100 and you stay in and eat HelloFresh, you're going to have $72 more of that $100. Do the math. You know I'm a math guy. You can save on the average over $65 per month when you order HelloFresh instead of grocery shopping. Save the time, man. You could save a trip or two. Let HelloFresh handle it. We're trying to put more money in your pocket toward those other 2022 goals of yours. You guys have goals. Stop wasting your money buying extra shit you don't need. Let HelloFresh take you there. We're talking 50 menu items, over 50 menu and market items to choose from each week, including veggie, calorie smart, family friendly, gourmet options. You know, it's just providing plenty of variety for you guys. Recipes like hibachi sweet, soy, bayette, steak and shrimp, bringing restaurant quality meals right to your kitchen. Who don't want to eat that? They give you exactly what you need, okay? Who doesn't want to eat a white cheddar Wonder Burger, bro? makes it easier than ever to skip the takeout. We're eating Wonder Burgers. We're eating Bayette steak and shrimp. And that's how we do on this podcast. Okay? And you can order online. You're going to get on there. And if you want to do this, here's the deal right now. I got the super hookup for you guys, okay? I got the super hookup that you guys almost shouldn't even be getting. I feel like HelloFresh is trying to go out of business, okay? Are they making cuts over there? Somebody check their stock. All you got to do is go to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing16 and use GunsBlazing16, and you get 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Do the math on that. That's the super homie hookup right there. Go to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing16 and use GunsBlazing16 promo code. And then guess what? You're getting 16 free meals and 3 free gifts, okay? Are you kidding me? Hello, this is America's number one meal kit for a reason. So do yourself a favor. Head over to HelloFresh.com/GunsBlazing16 and use promo code GunsBlazing16. And guess who's eating 16 free meals and also getting 3 free gifts? You guys are. Hey, I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap this episode up. I got my I got me some two-way radios for me and my lady, so she's pretty pumped about those. So I got to get her up to speed on some 10 code. You know, let her understand that she does have to wear the earpiece in the house. You know, this is we need to have a clear line of communication across the property. So I went ahead and did that for her. You're welcome, babe. It's the least I can do to hook you up. We're gonna go ahead and finish this episode up though, and I hope you guys enjoyed what we did. I hope you enjoyed the knowledge that we dropped, mostly Casey. And I'm gonna keep this thing moving. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you. Keep coming back. We're gonna keep Todd's gonna keep on helping me. He really loves the format and the sketches and stuff. So you know his brain. He's gonna help me out a lot, doing some writing on some sketches and doing some things like that. So obviously Uncle Todd ain't going anywhere. But I really appreciate you guys again for listening. Keep continuing to listen. For those on Patreon, I'll see you this week on Tuesday. We have a coffee session every Tuesday. Basically, it's just a podcast that we just do with Patreon. So if you guys want to jump in on that, please feel free. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, The $20 Chef. Please sub to YouTube. Find me on all the platforms. If you don't follow $20 Chef and my personal one, hook your boy up
at $20 Chef, at Sean Latham.
Each of those are individual accounts. And that's it. So I'll see you in the next one, guys. Appreciate you for listening. Later.
Shutdown sequence initiated. Shutting down.